Welcome to class 126 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. Excuse me, I said 126. This is actually class 176 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. In just a moment, we're going to continue our study in Luke chapter 12. We'll quickly conclude the study of the parable of the rich fool. And then we're going to talk about how we are not to be anxious, beginning in Luke chapter 12 and verse 22. So you want to be getting your Bibles and be turning it to Luke chapter 12. And as you do, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Now, our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lowen Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. And all are welcome to all of our assemblies. Now back to Luke chapter 12. We've been studying this parable of the rich fool, the man that brought forth plenteously, and said, "Where shall I keep all this fruit that I have borne in my fields? I tell you what I'll do. I'll tear down my old barns and build greater. And then I'll say I can just take it easy and eat and drink and be merry all the days of my life." But God came to him and said, "Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee." All those riches were not going to help that man when he stood before God in eternity, because he would leave them all behind. And then in Luke chapter 12 and verse 21, Jesus said, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Now returning now to Elam's notes, Elam had written that he had this rich man, had he laid up treasures in heaven, they would have met him there as blessings, but he had to leave them here because they were laid up here. This emphasizes that man's covetousness is sin. However industriously, economically, and honestly it may be done to lay up treasures for oneself, if one is not rich toward God, the man is covetous and sinful. The sin is not being rich toward God, what is it to be rich toward God? When one gives regularly, liberally, and according to the prosperity of the Lord, he is rich toward God. But the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God is foolish, says Jesus. He who thinks more of this earth and its pleasures and merriments, its treasures and honors, than he does for his soul, is foolish in the sight of God. Are you so foolish? Now with that, we turn to the next section in Luke chapter 12. Let me read to you Luke chapter 12, verses 22 and 23. And he, now this is Jesus, he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what ye shall eat, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. For the life is more than food, and the body more than raiment. Therefore be not anxious for your life." Therefore introduces a conclusion from the above declaration. Since one cannot serve God and mammon, and since one should not serve mammon, one should not be anxious about food and raiment. The first reason Jesus gives for not being anxious is, for the life is more than food, and the body than raiment. And this is a very strong one. As Jesus says in another place, "One does not live to eat, drink, and wear clothes. Life has higher purposes and nobler aims." Jesus mentions two objects of anxiety, namely, the prolongation of life and the comfort of the body. Concerning the life, he specifies eating and drinking, and concerning the body, he specifies raiment. He does not teach that it is not necessary to eat and drink and wear clothes, and that those necessities of life are not attained through the God-appointed means, but that his disciples are not to be full of care or anxiety about them. They should not worry or become despondent over the future, but should do their duty, be industrious, honest, economical, and faithful today and every day. Jesus says in Luke chapter 12 and verse 24, "Consider the ravens, that they sow not, neither reap, which have no store chamber nor barn, and God feedeth them. Of how much more value are ye than the birds?" This verse states the second reason for not being anxious for food and drink. The birds neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet God feeds them, and they're free from anxiety and entertain no glooming forebodings of the future. The birds, however, do all God intends for them to do, namely, gather and apply the food God prepares for them. So without anxiety and gloomy views of the future, God's children should use the means He has ordained to produce food and raiment. In Luke chapter 12, 25 and 26, we read, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a cubit unto the measure of his life? If ye then are not able to do even that which is least, why are you anxious concerning the rest?" The third reason for not being anxious is that anxiety is unavailing. "For which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubic unto the measure of his life?" Uneasiness and anxiety do not prolong life. They do not even add a cubic to the measuring rod by which life is measured. Anxiety and worry may shorten life, but certainly they do not prolong it. Since then anxiety cannot prolong life, why entertain anxiety about the means of sustaining it? In Luke chapter 12, 27 and 28, Jesus said, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." This is the fourth reason for not being anxious. God clothes the lilies, which neither toil nor spin, in greater beauty and riches than Solomon in all his glory. And since he does this for so insignificant a thing as the grass, which is alive today and tomorrow is used for fuel in the oven, will he not much more clothe his children? Nor to believe this and not trust God is to exercise little faith. Timber about Jerusalem had been consumed, and grass was used for fuel in baking ovens. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 29, Jesus said, "And seek ye not what ye shall eat and what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind." For the foregoing reasons, Christ's disciples should not be anxiously and inquire about food and drink and raiment. The fifth reason for not being anxious about such things is, "For after all these things to the nations of the world to seek after." And Christ's disciples are different from them. Christ's disciples have a heavenly Father who cares for them, and the Gentiles have not. "For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, that God knows his children need such things and is enabled to supply them," is the sixth reason they should not be anxious. We read in Luke 12, beginning in verse 30 and verse 31, "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, but your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Yet seek ye his kingdom, and these things shall be added unto you." In contrast of being anxious for food and raiment, Christ's disciples are to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. They are to seek these first. To enter this kingdom and to live the righteous life to be the foremost and inmost consideration of Christ's disciples. At all times and all things, these must come first. All things must stand in the background for these, and even be forsaken when necessary for these. The advancement and glory of Christ's kingdom are the foremost considerations of his disciples now and receive their service and sacrifices. God's kingdom and His righteousness must be first in the prayers of Christ's disciples, first in their love, first in their labor, and first in the use of their money. When Christ's disciples seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, they have the promise that food, drink, and raiment will be added unto them. They will lack no good thing. The righteousness of God, obedience to Him, embraces, as stated in the beginning of this lesson, some useful occupation, industry, economy, and the proper use of all God's appointed means. One cannot be idle and lazy and be righteous. In verse 32 of Luke chapter 12, Jesus calls His disciples His little flock and declares that God's pleasure is to give them the kingdom. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Matthew 6:34 says, "Be not therefore anxious for the morrow." Assured of God's watch and protection, and in view of all that has been said above, Christ's disciples should not become anxious for the morrow, or become uneasy and despondent over the future. How beautiful and comforting and encouraging the following exhortation and promise: "In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus." Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. The morrow will be anxious for itself. Each day will bring its own difficulties, burdens, and troubles, and such of tomorrow should not be borrowed and added to the ones of today. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In faith and with true courage, goodwill, and hope, Christ's disciples should work at their honest occupations with industry, cheerfulness, and economy, and should otherwise pursue their Christian course today, and they will gain strength, and God will give them grace and wisdom for the duties and responsibilities and evils of tomorrow. How practical, how wonderful, and how well adapted to human life is the teachings of Jesus. His teaching contains the true philosophy of life and is designed to make men useful and happy in this life, as well as to prepare them for happiness in eternity. This is the last reason Jesus gives for not being anxious. That concludes the Sunday School lessons for the year of 1922 that were written by E.A. Elam. But before this little book of Sunday School lessons comes to a close, Elam wrote a section on Jesus, our Savior and King. And in so doing, he takes us from the book of Luke to the book of Matthew and suggests that we begin this little section by reading Matthew 21, verses 1 through 17. And that's what I will proceed to do at this time. Matthew 21 and verse 1 says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and came into Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village that is over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any one say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. Now this is come to pass, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken through the prophet, saying," Matthew 21:5, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and riding on an ass, and upon the colt, the foal of an ass." Matthew 21:6. And the disciples went and did even as Jesus had appointed them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on their garments, and he sat thereon. And the most part of the multitude spread their garments in the way. We're going to stop there And we'll begin with this reading in the next class.